patient. Truman Capote died of any number of ailments which had been afflicting him for years, and I don't think it's important to find out what specific one did it myself.
Doesn't matter.
He was ill, very ill, and had been for years.
Now, you've both been close friends. What did you think of these demons that haunted him? Was he a plagued man in terms of the alcoholism and the epileptic drugs in and out? He spoke in an interview 2 years ago about having sort of a nervous breakdown in the process of writing his final book. Or was he a man that just appeared to the public to be racked by all kinds of emotional problems?
Well, John this morning was telling me about the identification that he had with Perry Smith, who was one of the murderers of In Cold Blood, and who was... Describe that. To the point.
Yes, Perry Smith, one of the two murderers, I think Truman did develop a great identification with, because they were both, physically, they both had very unusually short legs and had very, very tragic childhoods, and Perry Smith had even had literary ambitions. And I think Truman identified with them very closely in a certain way and suffered terribly, having to literally witness the hanging of this man, whom he didn't for a moment pardon for the terrible crime, but he could also did identify with it. And Truman certainly was haunted by demons. As Gary's pointed out, he could transcend them and be the most wonderful company in the world, literally. But he was terribly haunted for at least since the success of In Cold Blood, when I think things began to become unstuck for him.
And we should point out, in terms of background, other things I did not know until his death, that he was basically given away by his mother at birth and then finally taken back at the age of 9, raised by aunts in the South. You tell me.
No, that's not quite true. His mother was a beautiful young woman who really had very little time for him. And she did, he was put in the custody of some cousins in Alabama for a long time, but his mother was in and out. She didn't exactly desert him, but emotionally, which is the most important thing, she did, and so did
his
father.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt him all through his life. He remembered it to the very end.
Yes, he did. He often told me about being left in hotel rooms. His mother would go out dancing with whoever, and Truman would be about 2, locked in this room alone in a hotel room for hour after hour, not knowing where he was, if they'd ever come back. And I know he never recovered from that trauma.
He was also the model for the character Dill in To Kill a Mockingbird, the
yes.
young child that came up with fantasies and my father's going to come back and get me. How integral do you think that his early background was to his enormous creativity?
Well, I think a large portion of the stories indeed deal with that, certainly the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought his nonfiction was more interesting than his fiction. I'm sure we've never had a reporter, as John said at the beginning, who's spent so much time, so much research, so much care to bring us that astonishing book.
Yes, and I'd like to point out a maybe forgotten, well, slightly less well-known work of his, which I think is seminal and to his work, and that is The Muses Are Heard, his nonfiction novel about the tour of the Porgy and Bess troupe through the Soviet Union in 1956. And it uses all the techniques he later employed with In Cold Blood. And this is their first and freshest usage. And it has all the immediacy of a novel and all the dramatic quality of a novel. But it is a factual reportage, as Truman would say, on this trip through the Soviet Union.
Now let's move into his unfinished work here, which some also said was reportage, which is Unanswered Prayers, in which he basically...
Answered Prayers.
Well, Answered Prayers, I'm sorry. It's a slip, an obvious slip. In it, he basically turns on the people who took him in terms of society, does he not? And mocks them. Why would he do that?
He shows the underside of the very rich. Someone said at the time when the first chapter came out in 1975 that he had divided the rich more than anyone else since Franklin Roosevelt. And I think that's probably true. He infuriated a lot of people. Why did he do it? I think he felt he was a reporter.
Do you feel he was denouncing himself in doing that too? He'd become one of them.
I don't think so. No, I don't. He had become one of them in a sense, but he was always a writer. And
I don't think he knew that it was all going to upset them as much as it did.
And it did.
And it did.
All right. I'm sorry, we're out of time, gentlemen. I would love to keep going on this subject. I'm terribly sorry. Thank you very much for coming in. Certainly you shed light that I was unaware of.